Well, yesterday afternoon, a consortium of that includes AltVest and Easy Equities suggested to South African Rugby Union that they look elsewhere and not just accept the Ackerley Sports Group's proposal, which has caused so much unhappiness here in South Africa. We'll find out exactly why AltVest and Easy Equities think they can do better. Warren Wheatley is the chief executive of AltVest and no stranger to our channel, as is Charles Savage, who's the CEO of Easy Equities. Warren, I know you've been wanting to democratize private equity since you started AltVest. You've also spoken a lot about sports teams and them being a good route for private investors to get involved on in a private equity basis. But why is Charles here with you? What is the connection with Easy Equities?
So thanks, Alec, and hello to your listeners. As a Charles, Easy Equities is here for a very specific reason. Our two other partners in the consortium who couldn't make it this morning are there for similar reasons. And it's because we've got a shared ethos of opening up capital markets, democratizing investments, and giving people equal access to all. So while I've gotten the knack of fractionalizing private assets in a way that makes it accessible, Charles has done the same. He's done it for years. But moreover, Easy Equities have the most amazing distribution platform that just opens up access to every South African with disposable income. And in fact, even South Africans across the world who would want to invest in a little bit of homegrown talent. So quite simply, I chose all the partners. So
Before we go into the details of the deal, Charles, from your side, last time we spoke with the release of your financial results, you'd just gone past 1 million active members. In other words, people who actually are trading or investing in the Easy Equities accounts. Do you have any sense of how many of them might be interested in investing in the Springbok brand?
Look, Alec, it'll be a lot. I mean, if you think about the most invested share on the JSE happens to be Purple Group. And I'd love to say that Purple Group has got a higher affinity than the Springboks in terms of brand, but it doesn't. You know, so, you know, I think the popularity of the Springboks, you know, the winning culture of the Springboks and everything about it is something that South Africans are going to want to have a part of. And so I would imagine the appetite is tens of thousands of South Africans as a starting point. When I look at similar type of investments that are available already in these areas, you can invest in Man United as an example. You know, Man United isn't exactly, I mean, it's a loved soccer club, but it's not the Springboks. And there we've got tens of thousands of investors that have bought part of Man United. So my gut feel on this is something that, one, our customers would pitch up for in en masse, but two, potentially customers that we don't have. It would be a catalyst for them to join Easy Equities to get in on this wonderful distribution opportunity.
And I suppose the point here is that the minimum that they can invest is very low.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you think about, you know, ownership changes everything. I mean, now there's a wonderful quote which I keep referring to, and, you know, history of the world, nobody ever washed a rented car. And, you know, we all passionately wear the box on our, you know, with pride. And what a better way to support them than to be a shareholder. And even if that's just one rand, now you can decide what your level of support or interest is. And so I would expect that we'll have everyone from the one rand investor to the, you know, multi-million rand investor all stacking up, if you like, to put the box in their portfolio and just pitch up and be a bigger, braver supporter.
So Warren, with that in mind, how does it differ to what is on the table at the moment? We know as we speak today, SARU are meeting. It's almost certain that they are not going to accept the offer from the Ackerley Sports Group, which was $75 million for 20% of the Springbok commercial brand, but control of the board. So they would then get to manage how the Springboks are commercially, or the Springbok brand is commercially used internationally. How does what you guys put on the table yesterday to the chief executive and chairman of SARU differ from what they're considering this morning?
The most striking difference is that our proposal implies inclusivity of the entire country. I used it in a quote, the car guard at Loftus, all the way through to the Eastern Cape Superfet. But moreover, it actually allows for South African institutions and South African asset managers and private equity firms to participate and support this, so that not too much of the IP or the sovereign rights need to be exported to an international player. I do think that there is space for international expertise, but the primary difference is that we can include anyone who wants to be included, including potentially competing bidders, by the way. The second thing is that this process implies transparency. If we're going to go to the market and ask them to trust the brand needs to open up and tell the country what the plans are. And so those were the two biggest criticisms, as far as I could tell, in addition to the price, that the country sentiment turned the sentiment against the deal. So we'll address those two issues in a big way.
You mentioned the price. Akeli says they'll put down $35 million now. That is about 650 million rands. Are you able to do that as well? Can you kick in 650 million rand now as an alternative to what they're offering?
I haven't checked my bank balance this morning, but it's unlikely. And that's why we've brought along some, maybe Charles can. And that's why we've got some big asset managers behind us. Since the submission yesterday, I've had two additional private equity firms throw their hat in the ring, both capable of writing checks. I don't think they need 650 million all at once, but they were quite adamant that they are facing pressure. And so I do think some cash relief was necessary. And I think if they accept our deal, we could raise sufficient cash in a quick enough time to take the pressure of closing or doing a deal simply for the cash. You know, so we could relieve some pressure and work out a payment plan. Our structure, one of the downfalls is that we would need to go through the regulatory quagmire of doing an offer to the public. And that does take up to 3 months. We have to educate people, do road shows and that kind of thing. And we have to actually convince people that it's not just a passion purchase, it's actually a good investment. And so it would take up to 3 months to get the first cash in the door, at the least.
Charles, would it be a separately listed company that your clients could invest in? Not just your clients, I presume anybody really who wants to come through your platform could invest in?
Yeah, I mean, a separate structure. The structure of that will be up to Warren and the team to decide. But essentially a separate instrument that will be available on Easy Equities and as easily to invest in as you invest in any other instrument on our platform. You know, so same cost structures, same everything. Liquidity, we'd have to look to see how we manage liquidity because some investors, you know, might want to get out. But those are things that, you know, once we've got the deal and we understand the structure of the deal, we'll resolve.
You say once you've got the deal. Warren, what has the reaction been from Mark Alexander and Rian Oberholzer, the two major players at South African Rugby, to what you put on the table yesterday?
Look, it hasn't even been 24 hours. They've already responded, thanked us for the submission, but did explain that they remain in an exclusive arrangement with the ASG group until the end of the year. That suits me. I think the team would have walked out if I said we've got to submit a binding offer before the end of the year or within 2 weeks, you know. So I think we all need the 2 weeks break anyway. And this is something, if they accept, we could get started early in the new year. What I do expect, though, is that there are competing bids. What might happen is that this goes into an RFP type process where a range of bids are considered and they appoint an investment committee to look at them or combine them. Again, I think our structure lends itself to collaboration. We don't see it as a winner-takes-all type scenario. But we do have our principles that we'd want as a categoric component of any transaction that goes through.
So would you then be prepared to work with Ackerley or indeed the Rupert Group that has been speculated about in the media?
Look, I never want to go up against Rupert and Co. So we'd welcome working with him. I'd be inclined against Ackerley for no other reason other than it seems that there may be too much water under the bridge. But if they were open, we'd of course have the conversation. One of the major criticisms that the unions had of the Ackerley deal was that they were skeptical of Ackerley's actual expertise in commercialization. So they felt that there were better candidates if the intention was to properly commercialize the brand. And so to that end, Ackerley may not be the preferred partner if the Rupert and Co. and some of the bigger unions had to vote on it. I think we'll find out today because I'm sure they'll release reasons as to why the vote was turned down. We've got the letter, so we understand what they're thinking about and what the issues were. And Ackerley's expertise or lack of expertise was a major issue that was raised.
I guess also the fact that it is from another country. These aren't people who necessarily have the passion for the Springboks as South Africans would have. Charles, from your perspective, where would it go from here? What would be the next step for Easy Equities? And you mentioned Purple Group, which is the holding company, the company that you're CEO of as well, of Easy Equities. How has it become such a huge, having such a huge shareholder base? Is that directly because of your Easy Equities connection?
100%. You know, Alec, it's because we've built a community of investors that have fallen in love with the platform. And, you know, one of Buffett's favorite sayings is if you fall in love with, you know, service, then buy the brand. So people are buying the brand, if you like. And, you know, for us, the next step is really just to stand behind this consortium and, you know, provide that public distribution access point. The minute a deal or the possibility of a deal comes about, then we would, you know, we would help ensure that if there is an RFP that we pitch up and, you know, demonstrably evidence our capability and why Easy Equities should be included in any of these processes to ensure that all South Africans can participate in a valued South African asset.
RFP?
Request for proposal.
Okay.
Request for proposal.
So is that a normal process then in something like this, that you've got an organization that requests proposals? And I suppose that begs the question, why didn't it happen here before? Warren, do you want to pick that up?
So it's quite often normal. Bidvest went through an RFP process for some of its financial services assets. They appointed a bank, RMB in this case, to consider. And so what they did is they asked interested bidders to submit proposals. And RMB then adjudicate those proposals. So I'm not quite sure why it didn't happen in this instance, but it's a long, complex process, but it ensures transparency and it ensures that the best deal is achieved for the seller. In this case, Sorub. It would be the best mechanism, I think, for them to get to the best outcome for themselves and for the country.
Rob Herzog has been very outspoken on this particular deal, primarily, I think, because of the huge commissions that are being earned by a gent called Brian Mahan and Eddie Jordan, who just introduced the parties to each other and are going to be taking between them something like 15% of the total investment, which I guess is a juicy return for them. What kind of commissions would AltVest or this AltVest consortium demand?
Alec, it's way too soon to say, but nowhere near that. I mean, our premise is on providing low cost investments, and I'm sure Charles will say something similar. We would take a fair fee, of course, but nothing near 15%. In fact, we would work to the bone to get it below 2%, 2-3% of the total deal.
Charles, is that feasible?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, there's a significant amount of work to do, but I would say for a deal this size and the amount of work, up to 3% is a reasonable fee. Anything above that, I think, is not appropriate.
And just to close off with, the Springboks are one thing, and that is the red letter brand, if you like, or the gold standard for any South African rugby team. But rugby is a sport that the whole nation has now taken to its heart. What about other brands? What about the Sharks? What about the Stormers, Bulls? Dare we even say Cheetahs and Lions? Warren, are they also possibilities of ownership in this same structure or kind of structure?
Alec, I've written similar proposals to the Sharks, to the Bull, to the Titan, to Orlando Pirates, to Sundowners. We could do this for any asset imaginable. And in fact, to close out on this, part of this process might include a blockchain exposure through tokens that provide access the same way our class E shares might provide access. So we're really going to think out the box on this one, and bring something unique and up to date with available technology, which allows us to lower costs the way we're talking about. So you may see private South African private equity
and you're
shareholders on the JSE and AQX, tokenize investment through blockchain exchanges across the world. You're going to be able to invest into the Springboks from anywhere across the globe.
And I guess, Charles, from your perspective, Man United have proved the point that there is interest from the Easy Equities clients. Do you think there would be sufficient interest, Charles, in something like the Cheetahs or even the Lions, given that we're on the rugby theme? Let's leave the soccer clubs for a moment.
Yeah, I think so, Alec. I mean, obviously, nothing like what the Springboks will attract. You know, that's the premier brand and opportunity. But, these sports assets are becoming very valuable. If you track global private equity and just even family office and then just very wealthy individuals, there's a big move towards owning sports brands. The U.S. always leads this. And if you look at Mark Cuban's the most relevant example. He just sold his stake in one of the NFL teams and made a 10x investment in a 10-year or 15-year period. So sports brands are hot properties at the moment. And, I'm not surprised that someone's pitched up for the Springboks, multiple winning World Cup. Not many out there. So in time, I think as this asset class matures, you'll see it move from just your premier brands down to your regional smaller brands, and there'll be a place for everyone, all of the sports businesses, to participate, just with potentially less liquidity and less interest than something like the Springboks.
Charles Savage closing off this discussion with he's the chief executive of Purple Group and Easy Equities, and Warren Wheatley is the CEO of AltVest. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.